Stephanie Detweiler, and I invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. However you're arriving here today, I'm so glad that you're here. In today's episode and in the next couple of episodes, we're going to be talking about particular emotions that tend to get a bad rap. And today we're starting with anger. But before we launch into that topic today, let's take a minute to center ourselves and come into this present moment. I thought we might do that today with a breath prayer that comes from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. So as we inhale, we're going to say together, the Lord is my shepherd. And on our exhale, we're going to say, I have everything I need. I love breath prayers because not only do they calm down our bodies because of those good deep breaths, and we do want them to go deep, really focus on the exhale, but also because they help us to focus on scripture and on truth. So not only are we helping our bodies, but we're also helping our minds and our souls. So all together, let's inhale. The Lord is my shepherd. And exhale. I have everything I need. Inhale. The Lord is my shepherd. And exhale. I have everything I need. One more time. Inhale. The Lord is my shepherd. And exhale. I have everything I need. Now, if that feels good to you and you need to do a few more, go ahead and pause the podcast and do a few more at your own pace. Well, friends, it's good to be back with you after a few weeks of Christmas vacation. It actually went much longer than I thought it would due to weather issues and children being out of school. So I am back, though, and I'm happy to be with you. This season on the podcast, we're talking about being a human in process. And you know, part of being a human is experiencing emotions. Emotions don't come spontaneously out of nowhere. They're usually in response to something that's going on internally or externally. And if we're moving through life and growing and changing and transitioning, there are going to be lots of different emotions that go with that. I'm choosing to focus on a couple of emotions in the next few weeks that really get kind of a negative or bad rap, mostly because we think of them as quote unquote negative emotions. You can probably already guess which ones tend to be thought of as negative. Sadness and grief, obviously, and we've spent some time already talking about grief. But also I think anger and anxiety and fear tend to also get lumped into that yucky emotion category. So today we're going to be talking about anger, and in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about fear and anxiety. You know, I've been a counselor for over 15 years, and in that time, I've seen primarily women, and I live in the South in the Bible Belt, and so I'm seeing primarily women, a lot of whom are in a faith community. And anger is a very complicated emotion, I've noticed, for a lot of women, particularly women in the church, and particularly women in the South. And this may be not true for other populations and other cultures. I can't speak to that. I can just speak to this culture. But I've noticed that not for all women, but for a lot of women, they feel unable to say that they get angry, or they feel like they've been bad if they've gotten angry or if they've expressed anger. So rarely actually do I hear people use the word angry. Very often I hear words like, I was frustrated, or I was irritated, or I was annoyed. But guess what? All of those words are flavors of anger. So if we were going to look at our emotion wheel, we would see that there are a lot of different adjectives and words that we could use to express different kinds of emotions, but they tend to go back to a root emotion. And anger has many little ones that can go with it, including resentment and bitterness, which we're going to talk about later today, even contempt. But for whatever reason, frustration feels a lot easier to say than I was angry. That bears a lot more weight. And I will say that not for everybody of faith, but for a lot of people of faith, they've been taught that anger and anxiety are sinful. And we're going to talk about why some of that is actually unproductive and unhelpful, not only in our faith walk, but also in our journey as a human today. So what I'd really like to do in today's episode is talk about, first of all, what is anger? What purpose does it serve? What's happening biologically when we get angry? And is it always a sin? Is it sometimes a sin? When does it cross over from not being a sin to becoming a sin? We're going to talk about all of those things today because I think that's really helpful. But before we go any further about anger, what I'd like to do is do a little visit back a couple of years to the spring of 2023 when I did a podcast episode about attachment and authenticity. If you want to go back and listen to that episode later today, or even right now, you can go and do that. There's also a really great YouTube video by Gabor Mate about authenticity and attachment if you'd like to learn more about that. But one of the things we talked about back then that I think is relevant to this conversation and to the conversation we just had a couple of months ago or a few weeks ago when we were looking at the Psalms and Psalms of orientation and disorientation is that in order to be a healthy, growing, flourishing human, it's really helpful to be authentic. If we have been taught that certain emotions are not welcome or that we're not allowed to express them, then instead we learn to either ignore them or repress them or cover them up or only do them with certain people and not with other people. And I think, especially if we're talking about in a faith context, it's really important that we not feel that way in our walk with the Lord, that some emotions are welcome and others are not. That's part of the reason I really wanted to talk about the Psalms, because I think David really models that for us so well. And anger, I think, is one of the emotions that sometimes maybe some of us have been taught or have gotten the idea that it's not welcome before the Lord, that it's sinful. And what that does is complicate it in really unhealthy ways, because then it's like, oh no, if I have anger or if I have anxiety, then not only is it not welcome, but now I've sinned and now I have guilt about it and now I feel even farther away from God. So you can see why this can get really complicated really quickly in our faith walks and in our mental health walks. So with that having been said, let's jump in and talk about anger. So anger, in a nutshell, is half of the fight or flight response. When we are in some kind of danger or perceived threat or challenge, our nervous systems react by going into the sympathetic response, the sympathetic nervous system response. That is, in a nutshell, fight or flight. Now, if we're anxious, that turns into flight. I got to get out of here. I got to avoid this thing. But if we can't do that, or if we feel like there's a response that's needed, instead it turns into anger, which is the fight response. Now, I think it's really important to say at the outset, this is not a choice that we're making. Actually, it's a nervous system response. So it happens so quickly, like the flip of a switch. It's already beginning to happen in your body. Your body is having a biological response before your thinking brain has even caught on. That's how fast it happens. Because if we are in danger, if there is a perceived threat, our body has to react really fast. We may not have a lot of time. So we go into what's called survival mode. Anger tends to be really protective. It can be protective of us, like to keep us safe, or it can sometimes show up as a protector for others when we see things happening to other people, when we want to protect other people. I think also it is the right and appropriate response to injustice. If we see some kind of injustice, it should make us angry. That should be the response that comes. Like, this is not right. I'm not okay with this. And I want to do something about it. Because anger comes in that fight or flight response with energy. It energizes us. So like if we're talking about, you know, sadness, there's a lack of energy that can go with that sometimes. But anger always comes with lots of energy. So let's talk about why that is biologically. So when that fight or flight response happens, some very clear changes start happening in our bodies and in our brains. One is that our heart starts picking up its pace, and that's so it can pump blood into all of our muscles so that we can fight if we have to or run if we have to, whatever the response is that's needed. We start breathing faster as well to kind of keep up the oxygen level for all of that. Our muscles are getting shots of blood and also of adrenaline and other hormones, which is what gives us, it's like that stimulant kick to give us the energy we need really, really fast to get done whatever needs to happen. But it also changes some things in the brain. One of the things that happens is that our lower brain is what kicks on when we're in survival mode. I mean, it's always working, you're just not aware of it, but it really goes into high gear when we're in survival mode. Now, the part of our brain that's thinking through consequences and has access to language and all that, that's really in the upper part of our brain. When we are in fight or flight, that part, it's not completely gone, but it's almost like it's gotten foggy, you know, like we don't have full access to it because our body has gone completely into survival mode. And it's thinking now from a survival perspective, not about, you know, let's think through what's going to happen 20 seconds from now or tomorrow at this time, or access to great, you know, vocabulary, all that shuts down. So for this reason, I think there's a good reason why the Bible says, and here's a scripture about anger, Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. It doesn't say anger is a sin, because certainly God got angry. As we looked through the Psalms a few weeks ago, David certainly got angry. But it does say, in your anger, do not sin. I think we could sin in any emotion, but with anger, it could happen very quickly because we're not fully thinking. We're in survival mode. We can do a lot of damage really fast on shots of adrenaline when we don't have access to our language center. That's why when we're angry, we tend to use words or say things that we can't take back. Because in those moments, we don't have full access to our prefrontal cortex, which is the parental control unit that would say, uh-oh, you're going to regret this later. In those moments, all that kind of goes away. So it's easy to make big consequential sins or problems when we're in that mode that we may have to go back and repair later. But also that anger is really, really helpful. You know, our nervous systems, the way God has made our body, is brilliant, so brilliant. And we're just at the cutting edge of understanding all of it. Our bodies are made to survive. We are so resilient and we can protect ourselves. If you're a mama, you know that that mama bear instinct is big and it's there for a reason. God put that there. Those are all good reasons why it's okay to be angry sometimes. We should want to care for other people. We should want to protect ourselves from harm and danger. We should want to protect our children from harm and danger. We should want to fight for justice and not injustice. All those things are good and God-given. Also, anger is energizing. So while sometimes, you know, we can go into freeze mode and not do anything, or flight mode, want to avoid and get away from the whole thing, anger helps us get something done. It can be really productive. When we're in a state of anger, we can actually get quite a bit done because that adrenaline is working for us a lot of times, not against us. So in circumstances where something needs to be taken care of, anger can give us the motivation to get things done. So those are some of the benefits, I think, of anger. You know, just a side note, I went to a training a few years ago for parents of kids that come from hard places like foster care and adoption and things like that. And one of the social workers that was talking told a story about how it's really important, especially with kids, but I think this is true for us too as adults, to use our words more than our bodies. Because when we're angry, sometimes we want to use our bodies, you know, and sometimes we do have to use our bodies in really scary situations. But, you know, little kids, they don't have access to words. So they use their bodies. They hit each other. They bite each other because they don't have words yet and they don't know how to express themselves. When people are angry and they use bad words, but that's always better than using our bodies. It's like a progressive thing. In worst case scenarios, we use our bodies. When we can, we use our words. When we're even more mature, hopefully we take time to process our emotions before doing either one. That's not always the case, but that's sort of the goal, is to begin to notice what's happening inside of ourselves before reacting. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about in a minute. You know, anger is what is called a secondary emotion. And by that, it doesn't mean that it's not as important as the other ones because it's secondary. No, what it does mean is that often it comes first, but underneath it is something else. So when we have a moment of anger, especially as we get to know ourselves better and what that feeling is like for us and what tends to trigger us into anger and get more mindful about that, we may begin to notice that underneath it, as the anger dissipates, it was hiding something else. Here are the normal ones that tend to show up: fear, hurt, or grief. It can certainly be other things too, like injustice, insecurity, guilt. But very often, the big three are fear, hurt, or grief. So right now, I would love for you to think about, when's the last time you got angry? What were you angry about? As you think about that now, where do you notice the anger in your body? It may have been long enough ago that you don't notice anything in your body, but the next time you get angry, just notice, where do you feel that in your body? That is a really good way, if it's hard for us to notice and name emotions, to begin to clue in, is paying attention to our bodies, because they're telling us an awful lot. And bodies and emotions very often tag team together. As you think about that time that you got angry, underneath it, what do you think was motivating that anger? Did somebody hurt your feelings? Were you actually afraid, but it came out looking like anger? Or are you actually grieving something? Remember, anger is a part of the five grief stages. I'm going to give you an example real quick about the fear one. I have four boys. They would probably say that I'm angry quite a lot. You know, most of the time when I'm angry, I'm not actually angry though. Like underneath it, it may look like anger, but underneath it is I'm overstimulated and I probably need some alone time. Or they frightened me by things that they're doing to each other, or by risk taking that boys tend to do, like climbing trees without telling me. And when that happens, very often my reaction is like, what are you doing? You know, and they would think, mom's really angry at me. But actually, mom was really scared because you fell out of a tree. Why were you in a tree? It's really the underneath. So do you see what I mean by the secondary emotion thing? That anger, it serves a purpose. It can come out looking a certain way, but as we begin to take time and notice, as that adrenaline goes back down, we may notice there was something else driving that. And the second thing may be what actually needs to be addressed. By noticing, acknowledging, and naming our emotions, we become less reactive and more self-aware and mindful. We're better in touch with our own needs and our own authenticity. Then with practice, and I mean a lot of practice because I'm still practicing too, we can begin to respond to situations more thoughtfully and hopefully less reactively. But remember, sometimes our bodies need to react. Our fight and flight response is there for a reason, and there shouldn't be any guilt about that. So now let's talk about another scripture where anger shows up. We're going to talk about a section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is talking to his disciples and other people who are gathered there. This is his biggest and best and most famous sermon. He's just talked about the Beatitudes, and now he's talking about anger. And he says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." So he's taking a heavy command that was given a long time ago to Moses and the Israelites: do not murder. Everybody knows that is a bad, bad, bad thing. And Jesus is saying, oh yeah, but actually being angry with your brother, that's also bad. That's also subject to judgment. This is a heavy command. This is a light command. To me, they're both important. So we might hear that at the outset and think, uh-oh, Susie, that's why anger is a sin. We can't be angry. God just said that. You know, I heard Pastor Mike Erie on his podcast, the Voxology podcast. I think it's now called the Vox podcast. A few years ago, he talked about the Sermon on the Mount back in 2020. And he had an episode about this section. And he said, I think this is really helpful, that there were two words for anger. The first one is thumos. That form of anger means like a match that flares up and then dissipates. So kind of like that nervous system reaction we were talking about before, you can also think of like a toddler having a tantrum. Boom, it's really big, and then it goes away. That is not the kind of anger that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about this second type. The second word is orge, and it means an ongoing state of angering. He who is given in to angering. It's a present passive participle. In other words, I am in a consistent state of anger. When we are in a consistent state of anger, that's not a fight or flight reaction. That's a decision. I'm choosing to be there. I am ruminating. I'm dwelling. It's now turning into bitterness and contempt, resentment maybe. That's a different thing. That does lead us into sin and judgment. And I know, believe me, I know, there are a lot of things that need forgiveness that take time. So this is not a condemnation on any of that. You do your work with your therapist, with the Lord, with your spiritual director. You do your own forgiveness work in your time. But what I am saying is, Jesus is not talking about a quick reaction of anger. He's talking about, I am choosing to consistently stay angry at a brother or sister in Christ. And you know what his recommendation is after that? It's not for what you should do. It's for if you know you've done that to someone else, what you should do about it. And that's go and do your good repair work. He says, if you go there and you're ready to give your tithes and offerings, but you remember that somebody has something against you, go to them quickly and ask forgiveness before you even, you know, offer your tithes and offerings. He's like, if you're going to court with somebody, before you even get there, go meet them on the road and talk to them about it. Work it out. So that takes me back to another episode from 2 years ago that I had about rupture and repair. If you want to go back and check that one out, you can as well. You know, if we are a human in process in relationships, we will have ruptures. Sometimes they happen on accident. Like I just misattuned. I didn't hear you right. I misunderstood what you said. So I said the wrong thing that ticked you off. Sometimes it's on purpose because we've been sinful. We're having a bad day. We just don't care. And we say mean things. Regardless of how it happens, Jesus is saying, go do your repair work as far as it goes with you. If you've done this to someone else, go fix it. Go fix it. If we are in a constant state of angering, he's saying that is liable to judgment. So my encouragement to you would be pay attention to those underlying secondary emotions. What is feeding that? Is it fear? Is it hurt? Is it grief? Is it injustice? And then think and pray and talk to others about what you can do about it for yourself, for the other person involved, whatever that needs to look like. Get wise counsel, pray about it, but don't hold on to it for really, really long without doing something about it. It's not good for us spiritually, and it's really not good for us physically either. Bitterness does some ugly things to our insides. Okay, friends, that was plenty. Maybe a little too much, I don't know. Take it for what it's worth. I hope that that was helpful, though, and a good overview of anger, what it does for us, how it's helpful for us, how it's helpful for others, what we can do with it. And I really encourage you to notice and be mindful about what are the things that bring up anger inside of you, and what are those underlying emotions that tend to be hidden beneath. Well, I hope you'll join me in a couple weeks as we talk about anxiety. Before we go, I want to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.